talked, I got spoken to by the Lord this morning in a way that he has never, ever spoken to me before. So I don't know what's going to happen today, but we're all going to have a wonderful conversation. And God is going to be glorified. Whenever I tell somebody I'll sub for them or take over for them, I generally go to my computer and I'll print out the stuff that I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then I'll look up in my letter Bible and I'll find the words and I'll kind of at least have some kind of a background, something to fall back on for whatever. So last night I was sitting there and I noticed that my iPad, where I have my Blue Letter Bible app, is getting low, so I went to plug it in and it wouldn't charge. It wouldn't charge. It didn't go up one. I plugged and I took it out of this and I put it in that one. And I took this out of that and I put that in this and nothing would make that thing charge. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, okay, I'll just go in and I'll print some pages off of the computer. And I turned the computer on and the computer would not come up. The computer, that was this morning. And I said to myself, Lord, you know what? You're trying to show me this is not by me. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I even sent Richard a note this morning and I told him what happened and I had to have a good laugh. And I said, because I called, or I texted Rich last Monday and I said, I just read a verse in Ephesians that blew my mind away. And I was all excited and happy. And he said, well, how would you like to just, teach on that Sunday? And I said, sure, because I was all wound up and excited. And I felt like the Lord was showing me this morning. He was that girl that was all excited about what she read and what it meant to her soul and to her spirit. He didn't want me messing it up with a lot of intellectual stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to have today. Mm-hmm. We're going to have whatever God plans. Because that's what I said, God, this is your adventure today, and we're just going to go with it. So anyway, I was reading in the Passion Bible the other day, and I got to Ephesians 2. If everybody wants to just kind of, whatever you've got, turn to it. And we'll maybe have a couple of different people. The first thing that will really, sure, why don't you pray?
Father, we thank you for this day, and we always thank you for gathering together and having sweet fellowship of you through one another. So, Father, we just ask that you speak to our hearts, Lord, and we'll be open to what you have for us this day. May you be glorified in all that we say and do, O God. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was reading the other day in the Passion Bible, Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. So what I was thinking we would do would be, you've got the
Amplified. So
and we'll just, see what it says. And I've got the Mirror Bible on my app. What, do you have something else?
I've got a whole bunch of them.
Okay.
On my phone.
Great. You, Oscar, would you start off with reading Ephesians 2:10 in the Passion?
Okay. Just a second. I'll pull that one up.
Here, you want the book?
I've got it on.
Okay. Because that's the actual verse that got me so excited about what God is doing.
I had to take a second to get it up here.
That's okay.
This thing's a little temperamental sometimes.
You think? You think I don't know about computers and iPads and temperamentality? Well, in the meantime, why don't you read it in the Amplified?
All right, 2:10, yeah. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born new, that we may do those good works which God may do, may, which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking path which he prepared for ahead of time, that we should walk in him, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live.
Okay, I got it. I was gonna
okay.
It says, we have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it.
Is there a little thing there that you
want? Oh, you want the footnotes?
Just the one.
Okay. The one footnote up at the top says, the beautiful Greek word used here in translate is translated poem or poetry. Our lives are beautiful poetry written by God that will speak forth all that he desires in life.
And there's another one at the bottom about okay. Just by living our lives, we will fulfill our destiny.
Okay. And it says here, although implied, these good works make up our destiny. As we yield to God, our prearranged destiny comes to pass, and we are rewarded for simply doing what he wanted us to accomplish.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's good.
I love that. And we don't have to worry about what great works we're predestined to do.
Well, see, the word in James, where he talks about being a doer of the word, I don't know if he was going to bring that out.
No, I want a round table.
But in James, he talks about being a doer of the work, mm-hmm. that you might be a doer of the work, you know, doer of the word, that you might be a doer of the work. And the word for doer there is the word poetess. And it was translated in the book of Acts as poets, you know. Well, really what poets do is they bring things in harmony. They take a bunch of words and they put key words in certain positions, which brings harmony to something that they say. And that's why we like to hear songs and we like to hear poetry, because it makes you want to listen for the next harmonious word that's coming along. You know, you get very intense, you start listening. And that's why rap music, even with young people today, is so popular, because it's literally poetic, you know. It's not always good poetic, you know, because it's saying bad things at times. But people love it because everybody has that innate desire within them to be in harmony with God, you know, whether they realize it or not. Hope I didn't say too much, Candy.
No, please, do you think I can sit here and talk with my preparation for an hour? Oh, buddy. Okay, and I also love, we tend to think that this life, what we see, what we hear, is reality, because it's all we know. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the Bible tells us that we've been made a little lower. This has happened to us on purpose, that we might come up to where he is through our relationship with him. Not, you know, and so,
that's when, like Brother Oscar said, we've been hewed down.
Yeah. Human.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's been happening in me lately has been that I'm feeling that I always thought of spirituality as something ethereal, or, you know, as the higher realm, as being something very ethereal and kind of scary and you know, I don't know what's going to happen. And yet, that's the thing that's changing in me these days, is that I'm feeling very excited. And I think excitement is the thing that's going to bring us up, because it's a vibration that's in the atmosphere that brings us up higher and higher and higher out of this hewed down situation. And I've just been feeling so excited lately about what God is doing, what He's got planned for us. And it doesn't, I have no apprehension of it. I don't want to call it fear, because in God there is no fear. You know what I mean?
There's an anticipation,
yeah,
and an expectation.
Yeah.
This is
what, yeah. Yeah. I think that is so good. He has made us a little lower. And it even says that as I was reading, and I didn't have a chance to write it down, in one of these translations it says, He made us, when it says made us a little lower than the angels, He made Christ a little lower than the angels. It says, made Him a little lower than Elohim. Which, you know, every time now that I hear Elohim, I hear the body of Christ. I hear the plural, united. We are all one. We are in Christ. And if we are the enchristed ones, then we are one. And let's see. 1 Corinthians 15. The resurrection of Christ. I'm going to start around 20. But the truth is, Christ is risen from the dead as the first fruit. First, and then the footnote says, the first part of the harvest is called the first fruits. Jesus' resurrection is the first fruit of those who will be raised in resurrection power, never to die again. Okay? For since death came through a man, Adam, it is fitting that, let's see what that footnote is. It is fitting that the resurrection of the dead has also come through a man, Christ. Even as all who are in Adam die, so are all who are in Christ will be made alive, but each one in his proper order. Christ, the first fruits, then those who belong to Christ in his presence. And I thought maybe we could talk about that, what that means today. But then it says, then the final stage of completion comes, when he will bring to an end every other rulership, authority, and power, and he will hand over his kingdom to Father God. Until then, he is destined to reign as king until all hostility has been subdued and placed under his feet. And the last enemy to be subdued and eliminated is death itself. Now, there are Jesus himself was the first fruits, and then those who are in Christ, with Christ. And then, however, is all creation, because all things, the Father has placed all things in subjection under the feet of Christ. So when it says all things, it means all things. And when the last enemy is subdued, even death itself, that, you know, there is really no such thing as death. Am I wrong there, Oscar?
Well,
there is a in the end,
yeah, in the finality of things, he's going to bring everybody in back into life. Yeah. You know, Jesus said one time, they asked him, they told him, suffer me to go bury my father. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them said to him, and he said, let the dead bury the dead. And what he was really saying there was, if you don't know me, then you're already living in the realm of death. And that's what man entered into in the garden. He entered into the realm of death because he didn't acknowledge God anymore, as you know, in that fellowship type situation that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So that's what put him in the realm of death, you know. And but there's coming a time when there's going to be no more death. Yeah.
In Hebrews 2, that was another one that I was looking at. Hebrews 2, I love this as well. It says,
what verse?
5. If you want to read some too, you use Yelp. For God will not place the coming world of which we speak under the government of angels, but the scriptures affirm, what is man that you would even think about him or care about Adam's race? You placed your glory and honor upon his head as a crown. And I think there he's talking about Christ. Mm-hmm. You have given him dominion. Well, no, maybe
he's
not.
He's talking about man
Adam.
There.
Yeah. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands, and you've placed everything under his authority. And then,
can I read that in the King James?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Picking up with verse 5, it says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection a world to come, whereof we speak. Mm-hmm. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Mm-hmm. Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over all the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Mm-hmm. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him. It's talking about man. But we see Jesus, mm-hmm. who was made a little lower than the angels, and for the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste of death for every man. And that's real good in the Amplified, if you read it out of the Amplified.
Which one?
5,
which verse? One.
Well, the whole thing, 5.
5
down to 9.
9.
For it was not to angels that God subjected the habitable world of the future of which we are speaking. It has been solemnly and earnestly said in a certain place, what is man that you are mindful
Hebrews
of him?
Hebrews 2, 5. He's reading from Hebrews 2, 5. I was just talking about
it. It has been solemnly and earnestly said in a certain place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you graciously and helpfully care for and visit and look after him? For so little time you have ranked him lower than and inferior to the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to man, you left nothing outside of man's control. But at present we do not yet see all things subject to him. Am I supposed to go a little bit more?
See, as it says, outside of man's control, didn't say it? And see, Jesus is at man's, you know, so it's talking about man there.
But we are able to see Jesus, who is ranked lower than the angels for a little while, crowned with glory and honor because of his having suffered death, in order that by the grace, unmerited favor of God to us sinners, he might experience death for every individual person.
Yes. Yeah. And there's a footnote here that says,
see, there it brings it out real clear, because it says, if it tells you it's man he's talking about, not Jesus. He's talking about man there.
And here it says, or, this is a footnote, or you subjected all things under his feet. The command given to both Adam and Eve to take dominion has never been rescinded.
That's right.
That's the planet will one day be under the rulership of men and women who are under the rulership of Christ.
Right. Well, see, like you were talking about Elohim before, when you realize Elohim is a plural word, it's not a singular word. The word for God, you know, like in the beginning, God created, and the word for God back there is Elohim, created. It's a plural word. Well, a lot of people would probably try to tell you that meant Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But if you come up into Psalms and read what it says up there, it's talking about man up there. And he said, I have said you are gods and sons of the Most High. But you, and he goes ahead and said, but you die like men. Well, why do we die like men? Because we aren't acknowledging who and what we are in God. And he says in that psalm too, he says, how long will you let the earth be out of course, O God, O Elohim, same word, O Elohim. And he's really talking about us. He's saying, how long are you going to let this thing be out of order, let it be falling apart?
Isn't that time?
Rise up today? In me and put things straight, is what he's really saying.
Yes.
You know.
I think that's so timely for today.
Yeah.
I think we're coming to a place where we realize that nothing is going to fix us except realizing who we are and walking in oneness in Christ.
Yeah.
Which it makes is really very interesting, because you're talking about the way things are today. It's a, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. A new humanity. So don't forget that you were not, this is starting with 11. Don't forget that you were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without the covenants and the prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and without God. And then on, in verse 13 it says, yet, look at you now. Mm. And that's in the, I want to hear that in this in a few seconds here. Mm-hmm. Yet look at you now. Everything is new. And that's the way I'm feeling. And even, it, I feel like the whole thing is timely. With everything that's going on in the world, this new anticipation and expectation and everything within the body of Christ is bringing us to realize that it can't go on the way it is under the dominion of Adam. We have to be under the dominion of Christ. Although you were once distant and far away from God, now you have been brought delightfully close to him.
That's good.
Though through the sacred blood of Jesus, you have actually been united to Christ.
Yes.
If we could believe that. Now listen to this. I love this. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as our sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice that has separated us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. It's all based on our union with Christ. If we can't come to the realization of realizing that we are one in Christ, ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been repealed by his command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over. That's just like it says in Ephesians 10. We are his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill this destiny. He has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jews and non-Jews, fused together in himself. Wow. Mm-hmm. See how far I could go here. It's blowing my mind. Two have now become one. There is no more self. Two, my way and your way. It's all in Christ. It's Christ's way. It's just get up every morning. What are we doing today, God? What would you have me do? And just do it. And let it hit the fan. Two have now become one, and we live restored to God and reconciled in the body of Christ. Through his crucifixion, all hatred died. For the Messiah has come to preach this sweet message of peace to you, the ones who were distant and those who are near. And now, because we are united in Christ, we both have equal and direct access to the realm of the Holy Spirit to come before the Father. That goes all the way up to, I think that's 19. Could you read that same thing in the, starts at yes, 11 and up through 18.
All right. Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles, heathens in the flesh, called uncircumcision by those who called themselves circumcision, itself a mere mark in the flesh made by human hands. But remember that you were at that time separated, living apart from Christ, excluded from all part in him, utterly estranged and outlawed from the rights of Israel as a nation, and strangers with no share in the sacred compact of the messianic promise, with no knowledge of or right in God's agreement for his covenant. And you had no hope, no promise. You were in the world without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were also far away, through and by in the blood of Christ, have been brought near. For he is himself our peace, our bond of unity and harmony. He has made us both Jew and Gentile, one body, and has broken down, destroyed, and abolished the hostile dividing wall between us, by abolishing in his own crucified flesh the enmity caused by the law with its decrees and ordinances, which he annulled. And he from the two might create in himself one new man, one new quality of humanity out of the two, so making peace. And he designed to reconcile to God both Jew and Gentile, united in a single body by the means of his cross, by killing the mutual enmity and bringing the feud to an end. And he came and preached the glad tidings of peace to you who were far off, peace to those who were near. For it is through him that we both, whether far off or near, now have an introduction, access by one Holy Spirit to the Father, so that we are able to approach him. So therefore, no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens excluded from the rights of citizens, but you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for himself, and you belong to God's own household. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
It is so amazing to me that you can read something over and over and over again, and finally, one day, it just opens up like crazy.
This, when you go on to the very end of this chapter, it says, you are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself. the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined, bound, welded together harmoniously, and it continues to rise, to grow and increase into a holy temple in the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. For in him, in fellowship with one another, you yourselves also are being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God in and by and through the Spirit. That is so, that is, yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, the Lord.
That's perfect.
Well, I was just thinking, why do you think they talk so much about circumcision? It was given to Abraham for a sign of righteousness, you know. And one time years ago, when I was a real young Christian, I was laying in bed one time morning. God used to speak to me at the funniest times. I mean, I wasn't praying. I was just laying there. And he started speaking to me about circumcision. And I thought, well, Lord, okay, what was circumcision all about? Well, if you look at circumcision in the natural, circumcision is a cutting away of the flesh that the source of new life can be exposed, where new life comes from. And, you know, when he's talking about circumcision, he's talking about it back here, about their circumcision in the flesh, and them basically having a bunch of pride in that. But if you go back into Romans, the second chapter, verse 28, well, let's go to verse 27. And shall not the uncircumcised, which is by nature, if it fulfills the law, judge thee by the letter, and circumcision does transgress the law? And then it goes on, verse 28 says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is circumcision, which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is of God, is not of men, but of God. So what he's really talking about circumcision when he talks about circumcising your heart, well, if you look up that word heart, it's not going to be talking about this thing beating in your chest. It's going to be talking about your thoughts. It's going to be talking about your mind. And literally, he has to circumcise our mind to get the fleshly nature away from there. And as he cuts away the flesh, then the mind of Christ can function, you know. And it's the source of life, of real life, you know. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, what happens? So is he. So, you know, as you begin, as the fleshly mind begins to be circumcised away, and it takes the spirit to do that, you know, because it says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and it is not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And see, you know, Peter and them had a problem one time with people were spying out their private areas when to find out if they'd been circumcised.
They were telling them
that they should be, that those people should be circumcised, you know, because the Jews all were circumcised. Well, that's why he really began to teach this stuff, you know. Paul and the rest of them began to teach this stuff. The true circumcision is not in the flesh, in the natural, but it's literally of your heart, you know. And are your thinking or whatever, you know, and but it's kind of funny, because even the people had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Jewish Christians were still, if they would see that they weren't naturally circumcised, they were trying to get them to be circumcised, you know, and that's why they had to do some teaching on that and say, well, you know, it's not a natural thing. It's actually a circumcision of the heart, mm-hmm. you know, the inner man, you know. Mm-hmm. And when that inner man is circumcised, mm-hmm. you begin to become one new man, mm-hmm. so making peace, like it says in the 15th verse in the King James, abolishing in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain, of two different things there, mm-hmm. one new man, mm-hmm. so making peace. And see, the one thing I didn't like about the one scripture that you read out of the Passion, where it still said, used the word human, mm-hmm. I think you should have threw the human out of there and just said man. Mm-hmm. Because God is eliminating the hue part, mm-hmm. you know, because the Gospel of John, when he said, Father, I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one, the word there for one, if you study into it, it has the numerical meaning of one, but it also has the meaning of an abundant man or abundantly man. Mm-hmm. Well, to be abundantly man, you can't be a human. You know, you have to be all man, all new man. That's good, new man. And you know, that's what happened to mankind in the garden in the beginning. They got hewed down, you know, into becoming a human. And God's intention and his purpose wasn't for them to be hewed down, but because they partook of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, and began to judge good and evil, then they became hewed down into a lower realm, the realm of death, you know. Because anybody that doesn't know God, they're walking around dead, you know. You see all these TV shows with the, what is it, The Walking Dead and all that kind of stuff. I got news for you. There's a whole bunch of Walking Dead out there right now because they don't know him as their Lord and Savior. And once they come to that realization, they'll come into a place of life, you know. And they're going to come there eventually. I mean, we believe that. We believe that they're going to come there eventually. Yes, but, you know. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention that about the circumcision. Why circumcision? Circumcision was a type of, like I say, a cutting away of the flesh, that the source of new life was exposed all the time, you know. And, you know, that's the way God showed it to me. And I thought, well, that makes sense, you know.
Well, in reality, too. Yeah. Circumcision in reality, uh-huh. if you apply those principles to it, it's painful.
Yeah, well, it is.
And
I tell you what, they say that, I've heard them say that there is even times sometimes when little babies die from circumcision mm-hmm. because it's so stressful mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. I've only known one person who was circumcised when they were a man. Yeah. And it was painful for one of her.
I had an uncle that was.
Yeah.
I took him to
the hospital. It's very, very painful.
Horrible.
Yeah. My nephew was circumcised when he was in his probably late 20s. Mm, he said, you know, like painkillers, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well, see, even if you go back into the Old Testament, one time they circumcised. These people wanted to marry into the mm-hmm. Jewish nation, and they were enemies of the Jews, and they circumcised them. They told them that all the men had to be circumcised, and they agreed to that. Mm-hmm. And then they rose up and killed them all because they couldn't fight them. They were in such bad shape. They couldn't fight them, you know. So they overtook them. I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's in the mm-hmm. Old Testament. I've read it different times.
Yep.
But it's a story in the Old Testament.
They were in a weakened state.
Yeah, they were in such a weakened state that they couldn't fight, you know. So if you apply that spiritually,
yes.
So sometimes you think, well, Lord, isn't this circumcision never going to stop?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's kind of painful, you know.
And yet the joy.
It's a joy, yeah.
And yet the joy when, well, you know, yeah. would you ever go back?
Right.
To what you were before.
Well, you know, you know.
And you don't even, you didn't even know what you were missing.
Yeah.
When, and that's the whole thing of mistaken identity.
Right.
We thought we were worms.
Right.
And not, you know, not that we are worthy, but we didn't know who we were.
Yeah.
There's one, we are one. I was just looking up at John again, where he said, I pray, Father, that they all may be one. Mm-hmm. As thou, Father, art. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Uh-huh. It always gives me so much joy.
Yeah.
As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. I mean, we're going to have a party up there. Not up there. In here. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know? I'll tell you what. There is so much more on a level that we are becoming able to understand even just a little bit. We, you know, there's so many, as so many things get out of our control, we see more and more and more that God
is. That John
17.
17, okay. Let me read that to you in just a minute here. John 17. What was the actual verse in John?
20.
20, okay.
You were down there pretty good.
I'm trying to find it.
Oh.
Oh, 21 is actually what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me read you that actual definition of that word. This is the word for one, okay?
Mm, yeah.
All right. Let's see. Okay. Father, I pray that they might be one. And the funny thing is, listen to this. This is the way you pronounce the Greek word there. It's spelled H-E-I-S.
Spelled what?
H-E-I-S. Is. He is. It. That's the way it's spelled. You know. And that word there, this is the actual definition for it, translated out of Strong's. It's pronounced he's, you know, a primary numeral one, and it means certain plus abundantly man, one another. And remember, he said, I'll not give my glory to what? But he's saying, I'm going to give it to one another. Not to another, but to one another I am.
Mm.
And you know, I mean, that's pretty strong when you see it means abundantly man.
Mm-hmm.
So the only real abundant man that we know of is Jesus. Mm. He was abundantly man because he had the fullness of the Father in him. And we have it in part at times because we haven't come into the full reality of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he had it without measure. But yet he chose to identify what? With man. I, the Son of Man. You know, many times he said that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted us, but he also identified with being the Son of God. So he wanted us to he identified with us so that we would identify with him, you know, come to our true identity, you know.
Go down to 23, and it says, in I and them, and thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one. Is that the same Greek word?
Should be.
Mm-hmm. That we may be made perfect. in one.
And the word for I there is spelled E-G-O, ego, mm-hmm. you know. And I'm trying to get down there. Yeah, it's the same word.
Same word. So we, I and them, and thou and me. Uh-huh. That they may be made perfect in one. I think that's the only way we're ever going to be made perfect.
Well, and when we're made, when we're made perfect and we're an abundant man, mm-hmm. abundant, the only way you can be abundant is when the fullness of God's reality comes in you. Mm-hmm. Because that's what Jesus was. That's why when you read that back in Hebrews about what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him, you made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory. You set him over all the works of your hands. But we do not yet see. You put all things in subjection to him. But we do not yet see all things in subjection to him. Mm-hmm. But we see Jesus. See, there's the abundant man. Mm-hmm. He's the pattern son. He's the one that God came to he identified himself with man that we might identify ourselves as man with him, mm-hmm. you know.
What is, this is just, and I'm asking this because I want to know what everybody thinks, not because I'm going to tell you, because I don't know. What is step one to achieving that perfect in one?
Well,
what's our next step?
Yeah.
What do we do when we, you know, when I get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Total submission. Commission.
I believe that too.
Submission,
yes.
I believe.
I think it starts with surrender and submission.
Under,
yeah.
And then,
right.
And as it goes on and on, that it'll be no longer I but Christ. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In these processes.
No matter what it is. If God says do it, do it.
Yeah.
I'd say it's just starting your day off by, the way I start my day off is just say, Lord, do whatever your will is today.
Right.
Let me walk through it and to feel your presence in it. And give me the wisdom to understand.
Mm-hmm. Here I am.
The title to my sermon today is going
to
be
up to
The Fullness of Time.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, the title of my sermon today is going to be The Fullness of Time.
Praise the Lord.
So, you find in Scripture a lot of times that things happen in the fullness of time.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to come to a place where the fullness of time will be complete.
Mm-hmm.
And when the fullness of time is complete, then we will come into the total reality of this thing. And I mean, I don't know if that answers you or not. But,
and I see,
you know,
in that, in just what you said there,
yeah.
There's a balance.
Yeah.
Between becoming almost legal with ourselves. Oh, I gotta submit today, and I gotta do this, and I gotta do that. I got, you know, and finding fault with ourselves, because there's also that fullness of time that has to be taken into account.
Yeah.
It will happen in God's time, and God is the one who will do it. And so therefore, it kind of takes me right smack dab back to the first thing that jumped out at me in 10, where it says, God, even before we were born, and even before the foundation of the earth, God planned in advance our destiny, and the good works we would do to fulfill it.
Right.
Even though we have a part, it is God who will to will and to do of his good purpose in our lives. We are never to go around feeling guilty or, you know, that, I messed up today. Well, it is God. There's always that fullness of time thing. Because it's not going to happen one iota before God wills it to happen.
Right.
Well, for me, when I pray like that in the morning, what that does for me, is it takes my control out of the situation.
Right.
Because I'm giving him all the reins.
Yeah.
For
well,
the
he's got them anyway, but mm-hmm. but you're submitting to him.
Yes.
You know,
agreed.
The Lord spoke to me one time about the perfect law of liberty, and I said, Lord, what is the perfect law of liberty? And he said, submission. Mm-hmm. Well, that submission in the natural is not the perfect law of liberty in the natural. In the natural, it's doing your own thing no yeah. matter what. That's what you think of as being liberty for mm-hmm. yourself, see? Mm-hmm. But, you know, he said, he among you that would be great, let him be what? Servant of all. And what does a servant do? He submits to the master, you know. And by us submitting to him each and every day, then we begin to function in the perfect law of liberty, you know.
And that's not to say what Kat just said, that, you know, we're not going to make a mistake during the day.
Oh, that's right.
We're going to make a mistake.
Sure you are.
Okay?
We submit over and over.
But the thing about it is, if I'm walking in his will and I make a mistake, it's not the end of the world for me.
No.
I can go on from there.
Right. Well,
you know, and I can admit that,
right,
not only to God, but I can admit it to myself.
Right.
And to your wife.
Never.
Never. You hear that? Never. Uh-oh, I heard that one.
No, that's not true. You apologized to me for something I said this morning. We do that a lot in our house.
But I see we have the choice.
All men have to be circumcised.
No.
What happens to them?
Nothing. Nothing. If you're not circumcised, you just aren't circumcised.
It doesn't mean anything.
Well,
we're not under that law.
It started off. It started off originally with, and a lot of the Arab countries circumcise their people. You know, all the different Arab people. Mm-hmm. But it started off like that, and then mainly Jewish people, and then the doctors started doing it to little kids, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess there's some advantages to it. I mean, I don't really know exactly what it is.
It's
but
supposed to be more for
probably
cleanliness
and hygiene and
yeah,
all that. Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah.
But I was seeing out of starting each day during that we have choices, but I believe that as we're so submitted to him, we're making his choices.
Mm-hmm.
The better, you know.
Right.
It's not just
we're making better choices.
Huh?
We're making better choices.
Yeah, because we're if a situation arises, then if we're submitted to him, we're conscious of him and doing
right.
what he would want to be done
right.
in and through us.
Well, you know, that's like I say, I felt like the Lord spoke to my heart years ago when it talked about the perfect law of liberty, and I said, well, Lord, what is the perfect law of liberty? I felt like he said submission. When you submit to him, you're walking in his liberty.
Yeah.
You've been set free, you know. And, you know, during the year of Jubilee, whenever all of the servants were set free in the Old Testament, if you loved your master and you wanted to stay with him, you would go to your master and you would tell him. He would take you to the gates of the city, and they would bore a hole in your ear.
Yep.
And that meant that you loved your master and you wanted to, well think about it, you know, if somebody bores a hole in your ear, you know, in your ear, I believe that was significant of that you wanted to only hear your master's voice, you know. And I mean, that's the way I viewed that boring hole in the ear, you know. And that meant that you was going to stay with that master forever because you loved him and you were going to serve him forever, you know. And when you think about submitting to Christ, what is the prayer that I started praying when I first before I ever really, as I began to commit my life to the Lord, was, Lord, give me ears to hear what your Spirit would speak unto me. And what is, how does faith come? Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. And that's how your faith increases, by hearing God's Word, Him speaking to you directly, Him speaking to you from other people, Him speaking to you out of situations and circumstances. He speaks to you in all different kinds of ways. I mean, the Lord would open a scripture up to me, and then he would show me something physically that enhanced that, and I'd say, oh my God, something in the natural, and I'd say, I see what you're saying, Lord, he's reinforced that to me many, many times over the years. But seeing is the highest order. But hearing is how your faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But when you do what? When you see Him as He is, what's going to happen?
You'll be just like him.
And seeing is the highest order. But the hearing has to come to help get you to the place of seeing. Well, I guess we should close.
Yeah. Father, I just thank you for this adventure that you took us on today. And let all glory be yours. Father, we just want to love you. Take me right to the door of the city. Pour a hole in my ear. Yes. Father, we want to love you and praise you and be with you and worship you.
Yes.
Not only do we want to, Father, we do it. We do it because we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.